Okay, good morning.
Morning.
So, last time we finished up with a discussion of cellular network implementation with a brief discussion of 3G and 4G networks. So, if you think of moving on from the 2G, they had a goal of carrying high bit rate data traffic. Okay. And what we looked at, by and large, was just how do you get those sorts of data rates at all out of the radio system. Okay. So, today, we're going to look at two topics. The first of which is quality of service. So, it's not sufficient just to have the high data rate. It actually has to be allocated to users in accordance with their needs. And so we'll just have a look at a few of the techniques for doing that. You should have an idea that it's somewhat simpler for cellular systems in the sense that they have a lot of control over resource allocation. So they map out all the resources. Slightly harder to accomplish for something like Wi-Fi, where you have a contention-based allocation process. So we'll look at sort of what the basic flavors are. A little bit of what I say will be a repeat from earlier discussions. We'll look at basic flavors and then sort of how you can do it in how you might approach it if you actually have control over your resource allocation versus if you have a contention-based distributed allocation system. The second topic is sort of going to the opposite end of the spectrum and looking at multi-hop wireless systems. So, what we've done here, to date, pretty much, is we've looked at a point-to-point radio connection, and then we've assumed that just everything's fine after that. You hook into the wired network, whatever wired network you want, and you're fine from then on. Okay. Now, there are use cases where, the whole thing is wireless, so you have data traveling over multiple hops in a wireless fashion. And so we'll just really give a very quick overview of that sort of a setup and observe that sort of one of the sort of main differences for that sort of a setup is going to be routing. Okay, and how do you accomplish routes, picking good routes over these multiple hops. Okay.
Is that like within a sort of a campus size scenario?
It would usually be a relatively small scale scenario. So sensor networks is one.
Mesh networks
is another. Yeah, there's a number of sort of classes and categories, which are one way you can. So distinguish them is about how much of an architecture there is. So typically with something like a mesh network, you have wireless hops, that's great, but they're actually fairly static. So in that sense, in a lot of ways, it acts fairly much like a wired network. If you have sensors or an ad hoc network, say you're in a battlefield situation where you've got people running every which way, then things become a lot more complicated because your topology is changing all the time. So we'll look at that sort of pathological case where things are changing. But again, we're going to do it just a high level, just pretty much mention it and mention what some of the possibilities are for addressing these sorts of problems. And so the good news is that's it. For this module, that's all the material covered, so you guys can take next Friday and work on your assignments. So, just to get started with our first topic, quality of service. Okay, and so far what we've said is that if we've provided connectivity and we've said something about possibly a maximum data rate, which we can extract out of a channel or a link or a fixed unit of resource. Okay. And so the question is, now you have not just radios at the end of these links, but you have users and they're trying to do specific things. They're trying to email a file. They're trying to stream a video. They're trying to browse the internet. They're doing different things. And so the requirements that they have for the data delivery are different. Okay. And so if you are taking this as a fourth year, you'll recognize it's my favorite IDUD recommendation, G1010 from E321. And that just, it's at this point fairly old document from the early 90s, but it looked at different types of applications, video, voice, etc., and did consider what their quality of service requirements were. So what sort of bit rate did they need, and then what loss, what delay was tolerable, jitter, etc. Okay. So, again, these are end-to-end characteristics. So from the user to a server or to another user somewhere, possibly across the world. But we're still going to look at them in terms of this first link. Okay, so in terms of this first radio link. Okay. The bottom line is you can possibly ensure your quality or ensure resource allocation over that link. Once it hits the internet, you're at the mercy of the internet. But you can hope that typically a lot of times it is the accesses that are the main bottlenecks and problems in these kind of connections. So you hope that by sorting those out that you do get whatever you require. Okay, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at these charts, but again, this is the sort of classifications that G1010 made. So they looked at audio, video, data, bulk traffic, and divided that up into various types of applications, trying to have a conversation, a telephone call, just a one-way voice stream, listening to music, two-way conversations, etc. And for those, they looked at what bit rates you needed, so what raw amount of resources you needed overall, and that's in terms of a rate. And then they looked at, again, these quality of service, additional quality of service parameters, so delays, jitter, and loss. Okay. And so again, they did this for all of the sorts of, they thought, they wrote down every sort of application they could think of and did it for all of these applications. And then based on that, they defined a number of traffic classes. And so they defined those classes on two parameters, whether it was loss tolerant or not. So your voice and video, again, you tend to be able to smooth over a certain amount of loss in that problem. Anything where sort of the information content is critical, so either a control message or even a file, then you can't have loss or else you lose your information. Beyond that, there are different delay possibilities. Okay. So you would need, if you have a sort of two-way conversation going, you have to have very little delay. If it's streaming, you can tolerate more delay depending on the type of streaming. But that delay varies. Okay, so that's just, again, that tends to inform how people think about allocating resources, so they tend to think along these delay factors. Loss, there's not a lot you can do about, except perhaps to prioritize certain, you can do something about loss by prioritizing your traffic categories. And then, again, you get bit rate by allocating the appropriate amount of resources at the appropriate time. Okay. So, again, we're going to look at primarily the resource allocation issue along the first hop in that chain. And again, frequently it is along this sort of access link that you have the most problems. It's sort of assumed within the core networks that there's enough resource allocation, there's enough provisioning of resources that hopefully you don't get delays once you're into the, or you don't get terrible quality of service effects once you're into the core network. And so, again, we can work to improve our data transmission along specific channels, so that will improve the link quality, possibly the data rates along a certain link. But the primary thing, we've mentioned the idea of link adaptation previously, the idea that if you're allocated the resource, how much data you can send along that resource may vary anyway. Reiterate that here. And then if you have all these users and they have different requirements, there's a question of how the resources should be allocated amongst different users. So do you want to favor the people who are streaming their videos over the guy who's sending email, etc.? Okay, so again, what we'll do is we'll look at the types of techniques that are used for three different systems. We'll look at WiMAX, and again, WiMAX was probably the first to start seriously looking at quality of service allocations. We'll look at what's done in LTE systems. It's not too dissimilar to WiMAX. And then we'll also look at Wi-Fi systems, just because, again, you can do a fair amount if you have control over your complete control over how you allocate your resources, which is what happens with WiMAX and Wi-Fi and cellular. For Wi-Fi, you don't have complete control about, you have no control about resource allocation. It's a contention-based system. So amongst that, how do you essentially favor certain applications over other applications? Okay, so we have these various parameters. Again, the bottom line is if you can't provide the right data rates, then you're sort of dead in the water. And so that's a matter of, again, how you're allocating your resources and sort of some combination of how you define a resource. So can you do greater bandwidth or lesser bandwidth? That's what happened in carrier aggregation. And then how are you assigning whatever your resource unit is to specific users? Or can you assign resources? If you can't assign resources, how do you allow them to contend to favor certain users? Okay, so how do you... That's a lot of what we say today is dealing with your resource allocation to get various data rates. What else do you need to consider? Loss. What can you do about loss? Well, you can try and improve your channel quality. So you can try and just make sure your link is of sufficient quality to reduce the probability of loss. And again, we can... that's a combination of multiplexing techniques you're using, and then how would you send data along the channels. So again, adapting your encoding schemes to suit the channel quality you have. The problem with things like link adaptation are they're then impacting on what your data rate is. Okay, so if you have to slow down your multiplexing, so you drop from sending 3 bits per signal to 1 bit, then you impact it on your data rate. So these are all interconnected. Okay, delay and jitter, we won't say too much about, except they are a function of the resource allocation and queuing. So, again, if you, for instance, implement a first-come-first-serve policy, then you may or may not allocate sufficient resources to achieve a data rate, and even if you do, that rate might be fluctuating. And so, if you have a fluctuating root, if you have a fluctuating rate, then again you get variation in the delay, which again is sort of not great for streaming video and the transmissions, which require a sort of regular transmission, a regular receipt of data. It's also more problematic in sort of multi-hop systems where, again, you have not a single point at which these delays can occur, but a number of points.
So we don't really say anything explicit about it, although, again, some of the allocation policy, the resource allocation policy will implicitly deal with delay. For instance, if you're allocating resources on a regular basis to an application, say a video application, you're saying, yes, you can have your resources when you need them, then obviously things like variation and delay don't come into play.
Okay. So we have already looked at link adaptation in the context of just how you improve your channel quality and deal with varying channel quality. And so, again, this is something that's used in all modern wireless systems. It's typically termed adaptive modulation encoding. And so, again, your channel quality is going to vary, and depending. And so, we can attempt to improve that using MIMO techniques, but it's also a function of distance, and at some point, you're just not going to be able to improve the quality of your channel. As the quality of your channel disimproves, then you want to change your coding and bandwidth at which you're transmitting your data. Okay. So I think the example I showed you before was Wi-Fi, that everybody does the same thing. WiMAX, again, is our example here. And so you're allowed a number of different modulations up to 6 bits per signaling element. And that, and then a number of different coding schemes. That allocation can be done on a burst-by-burst basis, so every time you allocate resources, you can change your modulation encoding. So the base station, again, this is where centralized control comes in handy. The base station makes the calculations as to what the channel quality is, and based on that, the base station is the one to determine the modulation encoding. And so, again, numbers vary depending on what scheme. In the case of WiMAX, you've got 52 combinations of modulation encoding schemes. And so, again, you may or may not be able to, you may or may not have to implement all of your schemes. So, again, there are some that are required. So, you always, in the downlink, you have all your modulation techniques and then a number of convolution codes at different coding rates. Okay. So, again, if your conditions are really good, you might use 5 to 6, so 6 bits to transmit 5 bits of data. As you're getting bad, I use 2 to 1, so 2 bits to send every 1 bit of data. So only half the bits you're sending, or the data rate, your received data rate is half
what your transmission rate is. Also, for systems that consider different uplink and downlink, so cellular and WiMAX systems, what's required differs. Usually these sorts of systems are making the assumption that more data needs to be transmitted in the downlink direction, so towards the user, so the user wants to stream a bit video towards themselves, than in the uplink direction, of what they want to send is less.
Sorry, in that scenario, is the downlink and the uplink, are they implemented as separate channels? Or is that...
Yes, they are. We will see, we will see the WiMAX allocation later, but yeah, uplink and downlink are, well, essentially there's a time frequency division multiplexing, and different time slots are given to uplink and downlink.
So it could be the same channel frequency that they're...
It could be the same frequency, but different times, yeah.
It's just the characteristics are changing, but it's downlink or uplink.
Yes, it could change, although, again, with the base station doing the estimates, I guess there can be some feedback, but yeah. So, again, we've seen this before. The details vary somewhat, but the concept is the same.
Okay.
So what that means is that there's not a one-to-one correspondence between rate and physical resources. If you have a given physical resource, so a frequency, maybe a frequency not time slot pair, then you've got different data rates we can send along that, which vary according to the conditions of the user, where they are relative to the base station. And the other way we think about that is that if you have a given application, you may need more or less resources to achieve the transmission rates that you require. Okay. So, resource allocation becomes a slightly complicated version of that, in that we have our basic units, which are channels or subchannels. Depending on the conditions between the user and the base station, we can have more or less data sent along those channels. And again, the user may require, and the user has certain requirements for how much data they need to send. So what we're going to do now is have a look at sort of how we view quality of service requirements or resource allocation to ensure quality of service. And again, we're going to distinguish between our centralized and our decentralized cases. Okay. The main centralized version we'll look at is WiMAX. We'll look at both WiMAX and cellular systems, so LTE systems, and see, again, just how the allocation is done. And typically what you do is because there's complete control over who gets the resources, it's just the job of negotiating between user and user and network as to what resources are necessary.
Okay. So, again, WiMAX was, as I noted previously, the first to use sort of the more innovative transmission radio systems. And there were also some of the early proposers of quality of service allocation. Okay. And so this allocation is based on a negotiation between the user and the system, and then based on that negotiation, you receive actual physical resources. So you get OFDM, TDM, so you get a combination of a frequency and a time slot. And you get combinations of those, so you get a number. You're not restricted to just a single channel, but if you think of that as a channel, you can get multiple channels. And so the channel allocation is going to be based on the user requirements, obviously, and what the application requirements are, and then also on the channel quality between the user and the base station. Okay, so again, resources for WiMAX are a combination of FDMA and TDMA, so you have time slots and frequencies, and then those get shared among the users. Okay. So you can, you're allocated a time slot plus a number of OFDM signals. Then you can reallocate the number of those. Okay. And then the assignment of multiple resources depends on, again, what the actual radio quality of the channel is. Okay. So if you sort of have a fixed channel quality, so you're not moving, typically because you're not moving, then you can be allocated a contiguous series of slots, okay? And, your adaptive modulation encoding will be fixed because your channel quality is not changing, so you get the number of slots that's appropriate to your modulation scheme. Okay, to get you the data rate that you need. In other cases, you may be allocated distributed subcarriers to enhance frequency diversity. So if your channel quality is changing, then you might be allocated a number of subcarriers to try and find, to try and be able to give a good signal. Allocate, these channel allocations are made according to negotiation. So, the application has to define their quality of service requirements. And then the channel conditions, again, are going to indicate how many resources are going to be needed to fulfill those requirements. Okay. So
again, time slots are used to distinguish between uplink and downlink directions. And again, typically, you'll get more allocation for downlink than uplink, but that can be varied depending on what your actual traffic profiles are. So if you think of, again, a sequence of time slots, and they're going to repeat them, and then you have a sequence of frequencies, then the base station can fully map out the allocation of these resources. It has total control. Obviously, it needs to indicate, inform the users of what resources have been allocated, so when to look for downloads and when they can upload their information. And so it broadcasts an uplink and a downlink map, which the users then use to know, again, when they have resources. Okay. It then allocates resources to the users in the form of bursts. And again, since it has knowledge of the channel conditions, it can assign the modulation encoding schemes, again, on a burst-by-burst fashion. So you can think of one user has this burst, and it has a certain channel profile, so it's assigned a modulation encoding scheme. A second user has another burst. It's, again, in a different location, has a better or a worse channel profile, and is therefore allocated a different modulation encoding scheme. In all cases, the allocation is sufficient for the data rate that the user needs.
Okay. So, again,
the allocation is going to be done according to the needs of the user,
and again, that's something that has to be negotiated. Okay. So, that's easy enough in the downlink.
Well, it's easy enough to handle, I should say, in the downlink direction, because again, that's coming into the base station and out to the users. So the base station has a complete view of that. It's slightly more complicated in the uplink direction, in the sense that the mobile station has to request allocations, so there is a contention period over which, there's multiple ways to request these allocations. There's a contention period in which the mobile user can request allocations. The base station can poll the users, so the base station can go around from user to user and ask what their allocation requirements are. And finally, if the mobile station already is getting resources, they can use some of those resources to communicate, not just send its data, but also to communicate the base station. So, again, it's slightly more complicated in the sense that there has to be some mechanism by which the user tells the base station what it means. The allocation decisions, then, are going to be strongly tied to a quality of service considerations. Okay. So, unidirectional channels are defined to and from the mobile station. And so, again, you're going to have multiple connections to the base station in the uplink and downlink direction. And that means, again, you can have an asymmetric allocation. Data and control are sent along different channels. And in terms of data, we define what's called a service flow. And that's a unidirectional flow of packets with specific quality of service parameters. Okay, so this is where the negotiation takes place. Okay, and again, just imagine all your different types of applications, your voice, your video. You have different parameters that you need to satisfy, and different data rates, different delay and jitter requirements. Okay. So, within service flow, we have a number of parameters that may or may not be relevant, and so we, again, can negotiate about which ones to require. So, is there a priority to the traffic class based on either importance of the user or the type of traffic that's being sent? What data rates are required? Will you actually replace damaged packets or not? What's your maximum delay or jitter tolerance? Your bandwidth, etc. Okay, so which ones of these are important depends, again, on your class of traffic, the type of traffic you're sending. So we'll look at some examples. WiMAX defines a number of classes, which we'll look at in just a minute, and again, defines which of these are important for those classes. Okay. And so, based on that, you allocate your resources and promise that they will meet certain quality of service guarantees. Okay. So, the scheduler needs to, again, have these negotiations with the applications, and that's, it doesn't do a complete, you know, the applications aren't allowed to do a complete solo run on that, but they support a number of mapping mappings for the service, quality of service mappings for the service flows. So, in particular, five types of service are support, should be supported by WiMAX, and those types of service, again, correspond closely to the categories of applications that you might encounter. Okay. So the first type of service is unsolicited grant service, and that's something where you want a periodic, you want a steady rate of transmission. Okay. So something like voice over IP with a constant bit rate, so that means you are doing silent suppression, and again, the easiest, if you know exactly what the requirements are, the easiest thing to do is just provide them on a regular basis. So we'll get that in a minute. And so what sort of quality of service parameters do we have? Well, you have your required data rate. You have delay and jitter requirements. Okay. So real-time polling services would be used if you know you need regular allocations, but you don't know quite the exact data rate. So, for instance, video streaming, it's not necessarily constant bit rate. A lot of times, you know, due to compression of your frames, the bit rate varies. And so what do you want to do? Well, you have a maximum data rate. Now you also define a minimum data rate, so something that you know you're going to need at least this much. You might need more. And again, delay, jitter, and possibly prioritization. Okay. Non-real-time polling services are just to ensure that non-real-time traffic still gets at least some basic transmission rate. Okay, so you want to have at least some guarantee on your data rate. So you want to make sure your file gets there eventually. Doesn't have to be fast, but eventually. There's not really any issues with delay in general. Best effort. It's exactly that. So you're not too worried about specific data rate, you know what rate you'd like to enter this system, but you're not too pushed about how it works. Okay, and extended real-time polling is sort of similar to real-time polling, just for, again, with a slightly different class of traffic with slightly different allocation requirements. Okay. So you have those five allocation mappings. And so, again, they pinned down. They're defined in terms of how the user is sending data into the network and how the network is sending the data then out, or how the base station allocates the resources and what sort of resources the user is then getting to transmit. And so the question becomes then, how are the resources allocated? And this is actually not specified. This is left open to the implementation, but there's some sort of obvious mechanisms to do to allocate the resources. Okay, so we have our unsolicited grant service, so the user is needing a regular, predictable amount of data. So essentially, you just give that to them. Okay, so you allocate resources on a fixed amount of resources on a periodic basis. And since this is all predictable, you don't require any explicit requests at any time. Okay, so you set it up, you set up the connection, and once you set up the connection, you just allocate those resources periodically until the connection is torn down. So that eliminates any it eliminates all the overhead for having to request these resources. Okay. So with real-time polling service, we know that we do need regular grants of resources. Again, so we're doing sort of video streaming, so we know that we're transmitting data constantly. The difference now is that the amount of data we're transmitting in any period is variable. And so, again, what's the sort of easiest way to implement that sort of an allocation? The base station asks the user, well, how much data do you have to transmit in the upcoming time period? Okay. So the base station, again, is polling the end user. It's asking the end user periodically how many resources does it need? And you do that polling frequently enough that, again, data is not going to back up and you don't get either delay or jitter. So non-real-time polling services, and again, the idea here is that if you have a lot of data to send, so you're transmit a file, you don't have your streaming requirements, so it doesn't have to be happening absolutely according to a periodic schedule, layout schedule, but again, you do want it to get there in some sort of a timely fashion. Okay. So, this can be achieved in a similar way to the real-time polling systems, but you just do your polls less frequently. So you can do your polls every couple of seconds and just ask your station, do you have data to send and how much? So eventually your allocation will occur and your data will be sent, but not at a real the allocation is only done fairly infrequently. Okay. If the application doesn't feel that rate is sufficient or the requests are being made sufficiently frequently, again, there's a contention-based polling period, so there's a slot in which everybody can request additional resources. Okay, and then mobile station can use that. So best effort is just that. There's no real guarantee on a minimum level of service. The user indicates how much they're going to send. You can specify a priority so that it will be prioritized over other users. It can indicate whether it wants retransmission or not. But as a best effort service, the base station does not see the need to ask the user about whether pull the user, but instead the user has to use the contention-based request period.
Okay, so it's not guaranteed within any given contention slot that its request will get through, but eventually the request will get through and it'll be allocated its resources. Okay, and finally, extended real-time variable rate services.
A minimum data rate is provided, but the mobile station can also request for additional resources during its uplink allocation.
So what we see there is,
again, just because the base station has full control over the by and large, full control over the resource allocation, it does provide a contention-based request period for the users. It can map out, it can negotiate with the users and map out the allocations that they need. Okay. The proposed allocation policies are, again, ones that are tied closely to the types of applications that are being, that are common for the users. Okay, so WiMAX, again, was one of the first systems to address, one of the first wireless systems to address this sort of need for allocation. Obviously, cellular systems, you have similar setups. You have a base station, an eNode B, that has full control over the resources that are allocated to end users. And so it can do, it sort of does similar sorts of allocation policies. Again, we'll see that it defines a number of quality of service categories and then allocates resources according to the category.
Okay. So, again, what's the
a cellular system is doing is it is establishing a point-to-point data connection between user and base station. And so in terms of terminology, this is referred to as a bearer. And the bearer is just, again, a bit pipe between the user and the network. So we always have a default bearer, so a connection between the user and the network. But then we can also allocate additional, what are called dedicated bearers, between the user and the network. And for these dedicated bearers, we can negotiate quality of service parameters.
Okay, so it's a complicated
picture to just make the, again, simple point that bearers are essentially, yes, they're multi-hat, but they're, you know, there's, by and large, they're connecting, a single connection through our cellular system that then goes out to the internet, and that going out to the internet can have quality of service implications, but we're just worrying about primarily our radio link and then how you move that radio link back to a gateway.
So, you know, again, that's the, just, we're really viewing just the single hop. So, again, our dedicated bearers
can take into account quality of service, and so you'll have what you call quality of service class identifier. So for LD, they define a number of classes, and then for each, the different classes specify parameters such as loss, rate, delay, priority. Okay. Additionally, we have what's called an allocation and retention priority. And so that's just says, well, which users are more important than others, so who will we essentially kick out first, okay, and who will we, whose connections will we maintain at all costs. So, classes, we define guaranteed bit rates, where we can allocate guaranteed bit rates, and then there will be sort of an indication of maximum bit rates, so the network will handle the difference between the guaranteed and maximum as it can. So we have our access point. Think of it as sort of like the base station. Then there's a maximum total bit rate, and so this is what the station has left to play over is the difference between the guaranteed bit rates plus. So that'll determine what's the total data rate for the non-guaranteed connections. Okay. And so based on that, it will allocate a total maximum bit rate to a user, and again, we'll see that maximum bit rate might be dedicated to multiple data streams. Okay, so there are 9 possible quality classes. And these distinguish between whether they're guaranteed bitrate or not, what loss characteristics there can be, what delay there can be, and again, that's delay between the user and the gateway, and what sort of priority there are amongst users.
Okay. So,
again, if we think about how that breaks out, again, the user always has a default bearer. This is non-guaranteed bit rate, but it can be assigned a number of different QCIs, although, again, not the the highest priority QCIs. The user may also, again, request a number of dedicated bearers, and these can either be guaranteed bitrate or non-guaranteed bitrate. And then, again, we can have different QCI parameters.
Okay. So, again, our QCI is going to be tied to the type of application that we want. Okay.
So, again, we have our different categorizations, and we give these different priorities. We give signaling the highest priority, then voice the next highest priority. Again, we're still in the business of mainly doing telephone calls. And then we drop the priorities down beyond that. So, beyond priorities, you have delay tolerance and error rates, and again, whether we're going to allocate a guaranteed bit rate or not.
So again, when a user is trying to send
their data, they're allocated, the data is going to be allocated to a service data flow. In this case, again, it's set up as a bi-directional link, so phone.
Cellular applications usually have it set always up the uplink and the downlink direction, although, again, they can have asymmetric allocations. So a bearer,
which is associated with a specific quality of service constraint, can have one or more service flows within it. So all of the service flows within a specific bearer will have the same QCI. And then you might break up your service flow into fixed packet flows. Okay. And so probably better to look at an application of that.
Okay.
So we have our bearer. And so the bearer contains service data flows with the same QCI and error handling. And that, so that's like, if you think of that as sort of the same traffic class, you can have different actual applications and data connections within that traffic class. So you might be, again, in this case, we're doing essentially streaming two different videos. Okay. And so, obviously, the resource allocation and the charging for that allocation is done at the level of actually what data you're using. And then, again, that splits into sort of possibly separate data flows associated with the same application. So if you have an audio visual stream, typically that's split into a stream of images and a stream of sounds.
So again, the resources are scheduled by the base station, considering our quality of service requirements and our the
channel quality. Okay, so again, this is by and large trying to get you up to a certain data rate. Depending on the quality of your channel, you may need more or less resources to get you up to that data rate. Okay.
So again, what's assigned? Our block size. So how many what frequency bandwidth and time slots do we get? What modulation encoding scheme we give within that? Okay, so I think we will continue. Okay, now we'll leave. We'll take a break now. Again, what we've looked at so far is all of a piece, in the sense that we have a centralized controller that's allowed to do the allocation of resources, and those are done then according to the requirements of the application. With Wi-Fi, again, we probably don't have that centralized controller. As we saw, the most common case for Wi-Fi was that we were using contention-based allocations. So we'll see again how within the parameters that we set up before for our medium access control, we can still at least favor certain types of applications over others. So we'll take a break, we'll look at that, and again we'll say after that we'll talk a little bit about routing in wireless systems, so multi-hop wireless systems. So I'll see you guys again in about 15 minutes. Oh, what am I doing?